Welcome to Conversations with Spirit, where we dive deep into the mystical and enchanting realms of spirituality. I'm your host, spiritual medium Lori Albert, and together with special guests, we explore a world of spiritual insights and experiences, as well as offer captivating mediumship and oracle card readings. Tune in for enlightening conversations that will uplift your soul and expand your consciousness. Hello, everyone. How is everyone tonight? I hope everybody's having a beautiful day. Welcome to Conversations with Spirit. I have a very special guest with us tonight. Her name is Lori Scheffer, and Lori is a shamanic medium and healer with over 14 years of experience in the field. Specializing in Andean shamanism, Lori has dedicated her practice to studying the lineage of the Caro of Peru. Her unique approach integrates shamanic training and psychic mediumship, which is so cool, allowing her to bridge the gap between worlds and provide profound healing experiences. Through a blend of shamanic techniques, including journeying, sound channeling, soul retrievals, soul connections, and guidance from spiritual guides and ancestors, Lori facilitates a deeply immersive healing process. Now, this is the important part, you guys, where clients actively engage in their own healing journey. This approach empowers individuals to release old belief systems, confront their shadows, honor their ancestors, and gain a fresh perspective on their lives. So welcome to the show, Lori. I am so excited that you are here because this conversation is going to be so fun. So welcome to the show. Yay.
Thank you.
All right. So we are going to be taking questions. Okay. Actually, Lori is going to be taking questions because, oh, you're Norma. Hi, Norma. Because I want you guys to really start to understand what shamanism is. And that's where I want to start off, if that's okay, Lori.
Sure.
I would love to, first of all, I would love for if you could sort of, and I know we were talking about this earlier, it's kind of difficult to sort of define shamanism, but can you define shamanism?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to do it. You know, I was looking at definitions because I had my moment where I was like, oh my God, this has got to be perfect. And, instead, I'm going to, you know, do it in a way that to me makes sense. And to me, it's there are these indigenous cultures all over the, you know, all over the world. And of course, there's not as many as there used to be. And each one has their own beautiful way of connecting with spirit. Stories play a large role in how, you know, it's passed on, right? The tradition is passed on from generation to generation. So you have that beautiful story component. You have the connection that shamanism has with nature. It connects with everything. And I'll use Andean shamanism. So the practice that is studied up in the Andes and specifically Peru of the Caro who had the lineage of the Inca. And so the mountain spirits, so the spirits of the mountains, everything has a spiritual component. Every living thing has a spiritual component. Yeah. And every living thing is made of energy. And so for those of you, I was a special ed teacher and I tried to teach science. Everything is energy, right? Nothing is wasted. Everything is recycled. Yeah. So think about that from a spiritual way of being, that the very air that we breathe, the very air that I put out is not wasted. No. It is going somewhere. So everything is connected by these energetic strands. So for me, shamanism are those connections that you can't see, right? They're not like, it's not like the kite string that I can hold the kite to and I know the kite is in the sky. Instead, these are spiritual connections that you can see in other ways, feel in other ways, but they're beyond the physical, if that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So then it's also connecting with Pachamama, Mother Earth, who is, you know, sacred. I mean, we cannot live without Pachamama. She provides us sustenance. And then we have the four directions. We have the elements. We have animal spirits, tree beings, stone beings, plant beings. And it's all part of shamanism. And it's all ways that we can work with every aspect of nature, every aspect of life in all of its forms, if that, you know, makes sense. And so to me, shamanism is my faith. It's like, you know, in it, you don't have to give up your religion per se. My wife once said, well, do I have to give up Jesus? Because I'm not giving up Jesus. And, and no, you don't. It's the understanding that it's just shamanism really is the understanding that we are part of everything and everything is a part of us.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. But here's my question though. So you were talking about, in Peru, the Andean mountain, or is it the Andean mountains?
The Andean mountains.
Where you studied, right? And you met, Don Mariano and, you know, so you are like a student of his, is that correct? Right.
Well, yeah. So my first studying happened right here in New York, with a teacher, Eileen O'Hare, where I studied, actually, I took a 14-month course, and then from there, continued to, work with her, apprentice with her, for, you know, like, I think it was a total of 4 years. I worked with her. So I started there. Don Mariano was coming to Connecticut to do workshops. So I took workshops with him there. I didn't get to see him in Peru. We went to Peru when we studied and did lots of work there. But I've been working on Zoom with him for a number of years.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay. And so I guess I'm just asking that because is there a difference between like, okay, so in the Native American culture, right? Mm-hmm. Or should I say that indigenous culture, right? There's a part of shamanistic tendencies? I don't even know what the correct wording would be there, but is that's different than the way you studied. Is that correct?
Well, if you look at the different traditions,
kind of all the same in a sense.
Well, they share similarities and differences, which makes sense because because I'm a social studies teacher as well, so therefore we know that cultures, you know, the land, the society, is all impacts culture and all impacts also impacts spiritual beliefs, right? Yeah. So it depends on where you are. It would make sense that if you're in the desert, that your belief system would be influenced by the desert versus, in the Andes in Peru and throughout, the Andes are much more than just in Peru. They believe that the mountains, have spirits, so they pray to the different mountain spirits.
Okay.
I always wondered
is there's similarities, but there are differences as well. Yes. So that's was always my question about that, you know, which I think is so important, I have to say. I know this might sound kind of strange to say it this way, but I feel like that's important to appreciate the differences in the different sort of cultures, you know. But you studied, like, Don Mariano is like, he's, tell us about who Don Mariano is.
Don Mariano, Quispe Flores. So to backtrack.
Sorry, was I getting ahead of
it? Yeah, jumping ahead. Don Mariano, Quispe Flores is Quetzal. He is an indigenous person from high up in the Andes. The Quetzal live they live above Cusco. So they live at like 15, 16, 17,000 feet up.
Wow.
Right. And the story goes like this, that when the Spanish came to South America, they completely wiped out, indigenous people or made it hard for them to practice their spirituality. And the Carol managed to escape to the mountains.
Oh, wow.
They hid up there for a very long time. And so so what is taught is that their belief systems, I don't really like the term is pure, but it is, you know, more pure because they were hidden and they're able to pass on the beliefs, you know, the teachings of the Inca, right. You know, that they've held tight to. And they came down out of the mountains, some of the they're called Pacos. That's what their term for shaman. And some of the Pacos came down from the mountains in the late 40s, 50s, and a few, because they were told, you know, by spirit that it was time to share their teachings because there was going to be great shifts and changes, and that, you know, and so they came down. And since then, Don Mariano Quispe Flores, who's in his 80s, would be, you know, the son and grandson of some of those first people that came down. And the idea is that the Carol believe it's really important to share these teachings, and for us, so this is the time when the condor and the eagle come together. So that's South America and North America. Oh. And that it's important for us, those of us who are learning these teachings, to now take them and share them with others.
Oh my gosh. And so that is what your sort of calling is then.
Yes.
Ooh, that is so cool. And since,
calling, our life sort of guides us, and sometimes we don't even know, you know, where we're being called.
Yeah. Until
we
Yes. Totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. Oh my gosh. I love how you call yourself a shamanic medium. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. When I started to study shamanism before I became a medium. The truth is, you know, my family is I gifted, and we all have the ability to have mediumship. So gifted is such a, you know, strange word, and it's what we use. But my entire family is strong in being able to see the other side and all those things, but they don't like it. So it's shut down, right? And so I had shut myself down. So when I got involved in shamanism, I did it because I was going through some major, major stuff in my life. Some old traumas were being I was being re-traumatized. I had lost my job, and all these things were happening to the point that my self-esteem was totally in the gutter. Yeah. And I was like just a wreck. And I happened to find this ad for this shamanic class. And I sort of knew I wanted to go in that direction. So I joined it, and it happened to be this Andean tradition, which was this, it's like maybe, now I think it was 16 months, because you have the four directions, the south, the west, the north, and the east. And in each direction, you were like in the south, you're working with Sachimama, the snake, so you're shedding skin. And I always love that. And when I was teaching, I tell the kids, look, our bodies are growing. You can't expect to stay the same. Of course, you're going to be afraid. Of course, you're going to have all these things. But we have to admit that, you know, our skins are growing too, right? We're getting bigger. So we got to shed. And then after we shed, we go into the west. And that's where Odorongo, Black Jaguar, is. And there is where we really face our shadows. And I like to say that's when you open the door and you say hello to your monsters, you know, monsters in the closet. And then in the north, that's the hummingbird, and that's the direction. That's where we really work with our ancestors and the way we see ourselves, the story, blah, blah, blah. And then we go into the east and we work with eagle, where we begin to learn to soar, so that we can gain new perspective.
Okay, right.
And that, you know, so anyway, I was doing that. And in the midst of that, I started to see again. And like big time see.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and it became unpleasant because they were showing up all over the place, right? You people need to go. And and my teacher said to me, she says, you know, you might want to think about going to a spiritualist church and taking, you know, one of those development circles.
Yeah.
And so I did. I found one. And that was really the beginning of me, you know, beginning to accept the fact that I could do this mediumship. Yeah. And then, I went to more and more mediumship classes, spiritualist mediumship classes. And it was, you know, some of it like was very rigid, and there's a certain way of doing things. And at times, it was like, I felt conflicted, between that and my shamanism.
Right.
And then when I began to sort of let go, I began to realize that I had my own way and that the two really blended for me. So that's how I got there, to be able to blend the two, which, you know, just kept shifting and changing the more I did it.
Yeah, that's such a beautiful way to heal. You know, I mean, we talk, especially in spirituality, you know, we talk so much about having to heal and the different modalities of healing and everything. But this, when you work, I don't know how to, when you're doing the work, when you were doing your work, I'm going to put it this way. When you were doing your healing work, would you, I mean, you were working in a shaman, like, how would you say it? You were working in a shamanistic way?
Well, for instance, you know, it's so funny because through a lot of, you know, the trainings, the teachings that I've been taught and have healed me the most are through activities. And, you know, for instance, don't forget, you have drumming, you know, so you're doing drumming for journey work. And I'm a very, well, actually, I had a hard time with journeying, even though I'm very visual. Journeying was difficult to get my mind out of the way. So I, so I could journey. But, sure. You know, the drumming and rattling, you know, you have a lot of the rattling. So we'd sit in these circles and everybody would start out by rattling. And I couldn't keep a beat. You know, I had to watch it go around. I couldn't do it. So one of the things we worked on with my teacher was the fact that the reason I couldn't keep the beat was I wasn't in tune with my own heart.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's like, did you just kind of go, whoa?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was like, you know, I had a hard time with it. And yeah. Then like, you know, all this trauma and it's like, you're doing these crazy activities. And so this is my mesa, and inside of here are these stones, and each stone I have worked with.
Okay.
And originally when I was first doing my my mesa, there was my mother's stone, my father's stone, in a sense working on my mother and then my father issues. And, sure. You know, so you're working on your stuff and it's going into your mesa. And then in a sense, you're healing yourself, right? Because your mace is your altar. And
right.
And so through doing that work, you're healing yourself. So all those activities, it's all right in here.
Yeah.
And the
wow.
More work you do, the more powerful it becomes. And then
yeah.
I don't need it to heal me so much anymore. Now I get to heal others and I get to heal the earth with it, with the prayer, with the intention, with yeah. all those things.
Oh, that is so amazing. Oh my gosh. So I understand it now. And what's so cool about this conversation is that you have described shamanism in such a way that I feel like that I understand it more. Like, because it's like, it's about really, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but this is what I'm kind of getting. It's about, you know, healing yourself through the energy of the world. Through the energy of the trees and the wind and
right.
all, you know, all of that. And then healing yourself to the point where, you know, and then receiving like the gifts, you know, or gifts, whatever you want to call it, or the, you know, the mediumship and that sort of thing. And then sharing it with the world. Oh my gosh. That is like so extraordinary. I mean,
like to think, you know, when I was a girl, I grew up in an alcoholic home, a really dysfunctional home. And so there was this pine tree out back and we had like 5 acres and there's this huge pine tree. And I used to go under that tree as a girl, as a teenager. And that's the one place I felt completely safe.
Oh, wow.
And that was my special place. And when I was out there, I could pour my heart and soul to that tree. Yeah. You know, I was just like, and I would walk out there and I was just one with nature. And I, you know, and I would like, this is before any of this, right? And I'm just a teenager. I'm just a kid. And I can feel the power of the trees. I could feel, and it's the one place I felt safe. And it was, you know, the total love. And, and, or when I'm standing in Lake Michigan, and which is for me is my, you know, sacred water, you know, cause that's where I grew up, you know, so I grew up near there. So the spirits of Lake Michigan are very much a part of me. And I didn't understand all that until I really got into shamanism and understood that honestly, you know, spirit has been speaking me through nature my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just
did not realize it until
I didn't have the key to unlock the door until I got to this particular type of shamanism that really helped me to understand and just take that, you know, and then through working with my traumas and soul retrievals, really going back to that kid who was so afraid and had no self-esteem and now realizing, wait a minute. And that's where, like, you know, like you and I are doing a retreat with, you know, other people this summer. And we talk about the themes and these themes in our life that we want to change.
Yeah.
And that's where, for me, shamanism has helped me to do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Because one of the, when I was reading your bio, I was, well, first of all, obviously I was totally, before we went live, you guys, I was totally gushing because, oh my God, Lori, your bio is like so incredible, but mostly because it just, it really spoke to me. Like, cause I'm going to read this part again, this one little part, cause it says what she wrote in there was this approach empowers individuals to release old belief systems. I mean, right there, that's like enough for your price of admission to, you know, to start with, like forgetting the fact that there is confronting your shadow sides, right? Honoring your ancestors and gaining new, fresh perspectives on your life. I mean, that, I mean, who wouldn't want that? I mean, of course, I live in a different sort of reality in terms of, you know, I sort of live in a different reality in terms of spiritual, because, you know, work with a lot of spiritual people, right? But that, like, can you imagine being somebody who's just unsure about where to go in their life and what to do. And they know that they want something, but they aren't sure. But this is such a beautiful way to start your journey. You know, I mean, that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
I like to think, you know, it's like our life is this etheric tapestry, right? This beautiful tapestry.
Yeah.
But the, when you think about from the moment we're born, you know, our souls, you know, come here and we're part of these bodies, but so many people, so many events impact our tapestry, right?
Yeah.
And so what happens is all these things are going into this tapestry and oftentimes they're, you know, as we get older, we begin to go, wait a minute. You know, that's a crop. That's a crock. You know what? And I don't believe that about myself anymore, or that's not working for me. You know, I think, you know, the fact that, I'm gay and what I went through to be able to accept that, right? Thinking that, you know, my family wouldn't love me anymore. And, you know, and all those things that I'm not lovable because I'm gay.
Yeah.
And that, think about the amount of people who go through that. And it's like, you know, because, and that's a terrible thing. But we are all lovable. We are all lovable. And sometimes we need to do the work so we can believe we're lovable. Maybe that person over there, you know, that's their problem, not mine. I know I'm lovable. And, you know, I know I'm worthy, but that's the work that we have to put into it and sort of working with that tapestry and going, yep, that thread's coming out. Yeah, that one's coming out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Beautiful. I'm putting this one in.
Oh my gosh. I just love that. So, okay. So here's a weird sort of question. I think I'm becoming known for like the strange questions, right? So I have taken classes, but just, what is the word? Like the just primary, just basic classes in, shamanism. And I love what I learned, but And I know that, I know for a fact that a couple of people, at least on here, have done the same thing. So where would you suggest that people go after that? Because how do you pick what teacher is like, I mean, obviously, yeah, let spirit guide you. I get that. But where do you find the right teachers? Like, you know, yeah.
When I first was deciding that, you know, it's funny because, when I was going through my major life crisis over the job and everything like that, I was in therapy and I, you know, and I told my therapist, I'm like, you know, I think I'm ready, you know, cause there's a lot of stuff in my past and why I stayed away from indigenous, you know, stuff. And because I was raised around, off reservation, Native people who, there was just a lot of stuff there. And I just was like, well, I'm not Native. You know, so therefore I shouldn't be doing this, right? Because
right. Yes.
I want to do to respect.
Right.
And then finally I hit this thing. I'm like, I just need this, you know, so I want to do this respectfully. I want to do this. So, I started to look up, like, I live near Omega. So I live near, not too far from Rhinebeck, New York, which is, makes it lucky for me. So I started to look there in a catalog and I found a couple of courses. So I took a course with someone named Hank Wesselman, who now has crossed over in the Hawaiian shamanism. And, you know, so I took a couple of different courses so I could get a feel for it, for what called me, you know, and then, so you got two things. One is, you know, trying some things out. Because they are different, and different traditions may come at you. You know, it's like, I don't know. It'd be like doing the difference between Tai Chi and a couple of the other things out there, or some yogas, and
right.
some things call one person and not the other. So yeah, you can just check a couple out and then say, well, I really, that one really hits me. Now, like Anyan shamanism, there are practitioners all over this country. And so you can type in Anyan shamanism and you can find information about it. There are now Zoom classes out there. Yeah. There are some really good websites now that also do classes. So it's like, that's a way to check it out. And then slowly, you know, begin to find, it's hard too, because money, some cost a lot of money, and that's an issue too.
Yeah.
And we have to be honest, not everybody has the money to be, you know, putting into all the classes.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah. So how
what's great is that, you know, we've got Zoom,
if you're in an area, you know, like I'm here in Hudson Valley in New York. And, so like, if you can find the drum circle, if you can find things like this, right, they don't cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, you know, start there. That's a great place to do it. Find the drum circle, and oftentimes when you, even if you're doing, like, you're going to a yoga studio, sometimes even through something like that, you might find, people who are doing, shamanism.
Okay.
So it's just like, take the step, go out there and start something. And then it, I bet you 10 to 1, it leads to something else.
Yeah. Well, you know what I haven't been on Meetup, but boy, I hear a lot about, you know, stuff happening, you know, you can find like-minded people on Meetup. You know, I mean, I think that could be kind of a cool place too, you know? So if somebody wants to kind of dip their toe in the water of shamanism, what would you suggest aside from finding, you know, a place to go? What would you suggest? Are there books that you can read or like, you know?
Tons of them out there. Sandra Ingerman. There are, you know, she does, the way she has taught it sort of strips away the different, you know, like, how do I want to say this? So the cultural, you know, each, there's lots of different types of shamanism, but she strips it down to a core shamanism, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So like Sandra Ingerman, she has books out there. There are many, many of them out there. And if you read the reviews, you can pretty much pick up information about, you know, what they're about. And, but what I can say is, even if you like are just being called, I'm reaching, I have all these stones. In Quechua, stones are called cuyas.
Okay.
And You know, and so one of the things you can do is begin to, when you're taking a walk, it's one way to get out of your head is just to imagine, you know, you're walking and suddenly there's a stone, a kuya, and you pick up this kuya and you walk with it and just feeling it. You know, when you're sitting somewhere, you know, sit against a tree and allow yourself to literally feel that tree. And, you know, so, or you're sitting on the ground, really allow yourself to feel the ground, feel your butt on the ground. And okay. So also you can become more connected with nature on your own.
Okay. Okay. I love the idea of taking a walk and just picking up a stone and walking with it. I love that. You always have such a beautiful way of describing these things. I love that, right? I know that kind of coming to terms with your shadow selves is a thing, right? And I know it can be very, it can be re-traumatizing. It can be very, very a big thing to do. However, I'm wondering, like, can you explain what our shadow selves actually are? And by the way, if anybody has a question that you would like to ask Lori, now is your chance. Like, if you ever had any questions about, you know, what it would be like to be a shamanic medium or just a shaman, you don't necessarily have to be a medium. Am I right? I think that's true. Is that right? You don't have to be a medium to be a shamanistic practitioner. Is that
no, right? Absolutely not. You know, there are many shamanic practitioners who do not do mediumship and vice versa, of course.
Yeah. But that's what I love about what you do, because you incorporate it all.
Yeah.
You know,
I think there definitely is a great way to blend it. But back to your question, can you repeat your question just so I can answer?
Well, how do we sort of work on, or what is our shadow selves? Like, what is your shadow self?
Is just a nice way to say, in a sense that throughout our lives, there are little things that happen to us and big things. You know, for instance, we were raising a little girl for a while and she fell off her bike. And I was like suddenly channeling my mother and wanted her to get right back up on that bike. I didn't want any time. I just wanted to get right back up on that bike and just keep moving. And you know, my wife, you know, who's my wife now, and she's like, just stop that. Just leave her alone, will you? And what I realized is that was this piece of myself that was sucking up, buttercup. You know, I grew up with my parents. You weren't allowed to, if you fell and hurt yourself, no one really kissed your boo-boos too much. And they put a band-aid on them or deal with them and then threw you right back outside. You know, you watch TikTok and you listen to stuff, but the idea that I can't express my emotions, you know, that I'm not allowed to cry, then I have to just keep moving along. Something bad happens to you, just suck it up, buttercup, and keep moving. Well, sooner or later, you can see the flaw in that, right? Sooner or later, it doesn't work anymore. And it never did. So the shadow for me becomes that aspect that is that consistent, I'm not worthy to stop and feel my pain. That, you know, that is that thing. So I can take care of others, but I'm not worthy to take care of myself. My job is just to ignore my pain and keep going. So that is just one shadow. So when I, you know, it's a very large shadow, but it's the idea that, you know, it was very traumatizing, but I probably didn't even identify it as traumatizing then. It was just sort of the way it was. A bigger trauma, would be like, you know, well, we all have them, right? It could be anything from the really big ones, you know, like sexual abuse, growing up in the, you know, or physical abuse, all those things. But there's just many levels to it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it's just a matter of recognizing what they are, you know, I mean, for me, like one of my shadow selves is, and I'll just be really honest, I am a no person. Like if somebody says, do you want to go to the movies? I'm like, no, no. Like, I don't know why, but my reaction is always instantly no, right? So what I have learned about that over the year is that I don't want to put anybody out. I mean, that in my head, I don't think that it, as it's happening, but the reason why that's happening is because, oh no, 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 no. I don't want to put anybody out. I don't want to make, you know, and that's why that happens. That's why I became like a no person. So basically what I've been doing is, one of these producer, like TV producers or something, she wrote a book. Can't think of who it was, but, and she said, she just decided that she was going to be a yes person for a year. So anytime anybody asked her to do anything, she was going to say yes for a year. And that completely shifted her life.
Yeah.
And I mean, can you imagine saying yes instead of no? You're, I mean, like for a year.
My wife is one of those yes people, right? She's got no problem saying yes. She's got no problem asking for help. She's got no problem doing any of that. And I'm the one that I could be lost on top of a mountaintop. And the one person that walks by that probably the only one in the year, and I go, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm on my own way. I got it. You know?
Yeah, that's my husband's the same way. No, you're not gonna ask. No, it'll be fine. Like, oh,
one of your questions someone said is how do shadows work? And I'd like to say the shadows I think we're using are just like a metaphor. There is another way. I'm gonna give you a little bit different language. So in soul retrievals, when we're working on that. So for instance, a perfect example. So I, you know, you're the practitioner and I come to you and I say, yeah, I just, you know, it could be even this, I just keep saying no, you know, I want to say yes, but I'm afraid to, you know, I'm afraid to. So I'm working with a practitioner, and in shamanism, then what happens is we want the energy around that no. You know, that no, what is that? And so when you go back, first of all, how does saying no make me feel? Well, I feel like I have to say no because I don't want to draw attention to myself or whatever that is, right?
Sure, whatever it is for you.
And yeah. So now you go back a little bit further and you say, so we're going, I got you on the table or whatever, and give me an experience and give me a time where you think why you developed the no. You know, come up with an example, right? Right. And then we just take that back. And what we find is there's these little traumas or big traumas, and then aspects of us like fractures off, almost like we're this beautiful, beautiful, you know, piece of glass or mirror. And every time we experience a trauma, a shard goes off. And so the idea is to bring those shards back and put them in place, right? And that's where the soul retrievals come in. But I think it's just those things, the shadows that impact the way we behave and the way we, you know, interact with others. And if there's things that keep us from, you know, doing what we want to do in life.
Yeah. That's it. You know, I mean, what is it that's holding you back?
Right. Yeah. That's complicated. That is complicated. You know, I think, you know, being as a woman, I think I was always taught, which is, you know, tough because I was, you know, I love sports. I love playing baseball. And yet I grew up in a culture where girls weren't supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was tough. I'm fighting for everything I want and then being told basically I'm not being a good girl because girls don't do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what happens, you know, that made me pull back, not want to be seen, right? There's so many other things too, but I think one of the things I'm not going to say struggle anymore. I think I am really learning to reframe my life so I'm willing to be seen.
Yeah. Ooh, that's awesome. Oh my gosh. That's a lot of work to do on yourself. You know, I mean, in what I was talking about before, it's like the last part of your bio where you said, you know, shifting your perspective on your own life kind of thing.
Ooh, right, right.
Love that.
Yeah. And so shamanism really has helped me with that. It's through the exercises, through ceremony is also really important. My wife and I just did a despacho yesterday. It's a piece of paper and it's a prayer bundle. So what happens is you take, and there's a technique to it, and you pray into everything. You have an intent. So yesterday our intent was to connect with Pachamama, Mother Earth. And it also was to give gratitude for all we have, but to call into right balance. So as we're putting things in, so like rice can mean prosperity. All these things have meaning. So you're putting in cookies, you're putting in flowers and leaves and all these different things. And you're creating this beautiful mandala, right. And everything in it has a purpose. And then when you're all done, and it's all done a certain way, then you wrap it up like it's a present, and then you put a bow on it, right? And you do all these things to it, and then you can burn it, you can bury it. There's these different things you can do to it. And then you're like giving it back. If you put it in the earth, then Pachamama, she's going to eat it because she's like, oh, this, look at all the sweet, yum, yum. And she just loves it. And once she eats it, she's just going to release that energy. So it returns. And so that's the idea, or in a fire or whatever. And the whole thing's done in ceremony. Yeah. You don't just throw it into the fire. You do a fire ceremony. Everything is done with prayer and ceremony.
Yeah. I have a question here from Sarah. She says, what is the most important part in having a shamanic journey?
Important part in having a shamanic journey. Well, that can be
an interesting question, don't you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying, and I'm also trying to think how to take that. So first of all, in the shamanic journey itself, I want to tell people, let yourself off the hook. It's the same with meditating. Let yourself off the hook.
Right.
You know, if your mind wanders, let it wander. If you fall asleep, fall asleep.
Exactly.
Because the energy is still working. So in the journey, and I prefer journeying over meditation. So I'll be honest. I don't sit very well. So I walk and blow into stones, you know. Or in journeying, the part is to let go of, how do I want to say this? Oh, this is silly. Nothing's going to happen. This is the right thing to happen. This is the wrong thing to happen. And just allow it to happen as it happens, if that makes sense. When you journey, you are energetically going somewhere. So there you are, you're on the ground, I'm guiding you. Maybe I'm taking you to a lake where you're going to look at your reflection in the lake, and I'm asking you to look at your reflection, look at what looks on, what you notice. What do you notice about your reflection? You're like, ooh, my hair is really shimmery in that water. And then what do you feel disturbs you in that reflection, right? So this is all, you're in a journey, but you're still feeling it, right? You're looking, you're doing this and you're feeling it. And that feeling is coming right through. And that's what we're looking to do, is to shift the energy. Or if I have you meet with a guide, and then it's that conversation with the guide. Maybe it's a teaching or all those sort of things. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely. Sarah, I hope that helped you, because it's about, I love that you tell people to just let themselves off the hook, because that is the one of the main questions I get. I don't know about you, but I get when we talk about meditation, because people are like, but I always, as a matter of fact, Autumn on Instagram just said, she said, I fall asleep a lot during meditation. And it's like, you know what? Let yourself off the hook. So what? It's okay. It's all good. You're sitting. It's the act of sitting for a short period of time, yeah, or whatever, right? And I'm assuming it's, you know, a similar concept when you're,
yeah, jumping. And it's, you know, for me, laying down is better than sitting. Like if I had yoga and I'm doing Shavasana at the very end, I love Shavasana.
Yeah, I know, right? Me too. Favorite part of the whole thing.
And sometimes I just travel, and other times I snore, you know, and and I just, you know, allow it to happen. Journey work is very powerful. And I think there is both where you're guided. I like, so when someone is new, I will be more actively engaged with them in the journey, right? Guiding them more. But the more I work with someone or they know how to journey, then I only need to give them a few things to sort of have them go where they need to go. And then the drumming is there. And the drumming should have a certain pattern to it. And you don't want to be going boom, boom, beep, beep, boom, 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 boom. You know, it's that consistent sort of, you know, pattern that you want to keep going. And that, you know, if you're drumming, anyone knows that's like your arm's a muscle. So you know, got to cut yourself some slack if you can only do it for 5-10 minutes.
I think that's going to be my next purchase, is going to be a drum. And I know where to buy one. I know where they are. I just haven't done it yet. And well, to be honest with you, I'm putting it off for a little bit because my husband will just be like, he'll be like ready to kill himself. You know, because it's just going to be, I mean, because I know once I start, because it's kind of like the bowls, you know, once I started, I have my bowls. It's like, it's gonna, you know what I mean? It's like, I just keep going and I just, oh my God. And my family was like,
well, you know, I have a stop. Drum. I have a beautiful buffalo hide drum, but sometimes the humidity gets to it. And so it doesn't always have the best sound because it really can. And so the Remo drums, which are really cheap, I'll use those. Just, you know, I like my nice one, but sometimes the Remo is just, you know, works great. I think, do shamans believe in angels?
That's such a great question.
It is. You know, I think this is my own opinion, and from what I, you know, the people I'm around in shamanism, you got to find your own path, and it doesn't mean you have to give up what you already believe. So, and I think that is really the important part. If you believe in angels, then they're, it's, how do I put this? Everything's energy. Back to everything is energy. So how do we frame that energy? How do we frame that energy? It's by context. It's by the way, you know, so if you've been taught about angels and you connect with angels, then the energy is going to come in as angels.
Right.
And it's going to connect with the framework that you are the most familiar with. I really think that's true. And then, or you've really gotten excited, you can have angels and shamanism. How about that?
You can have angels and shamanism. I love that. So that's really interesting because I didn't even know that there, like, it never dawned on me that there might not be, like, because I mean, I don't know. I always kind of felt like it's just all whatever you choose to believe. And that's, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but that's kind of,
is it part of like Take the Andes? And I don't know, you know, so what Don Mariano Quispe Flores, the mountain spirits all have, personalities and have energies and, you know, they are part of spirit. They have these little, they're called Mokis and they're like little spirit beings. So are angels a part of their framework? No, not really. But for those of us who are learning shamanism who come from a different background, right? Then that makes sense, right? I already have a framework for angels versus they would not And for me, learning like some of these other things, like the little spirit beings and it's true, you know, it's neat. And it's taken me a while to get used to some of the things in shamanism that were pretty foreign for me. And then I'm like, okay, like mountains having personalities you know, but every in, you know, it's like there's so many beautiful spirit beings on so many levels. And that's just the key. So angels, yeah, makes, you know, love your angels.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so you have an amazing, would you call it a retreat? The upcoming thing that
Dom Mariano
announcements to make. Let's just say it that way.
Dom Mariano Quispe Flores is coming here to my home. He is going to other places. He's coming to the States for a month. He's going to be in North Carolina. And there, he will be doing one of the things they're doing is something called the, seven layers. So everything is ceremony and the way that you look. So it's the seven layers of the earth. They do so many things. The Carol believe that the Pleiades, that's where they come from. So they're star beings. So there's a lot of star, work, star energy that comes in. So anyway, they'll be doing teachings there at my house. They will, on top of, and all the healing sessions are already booked. But there are two workshops still open. One is the, Nine Temples of the Heart. And that to me is, I'm super excited about that one because you have your four chambers of your heart, which you learned about in health class. And then you have a fifth chamber. And your fifth chamber is basically your emotional chamber. And you think about fear and anger and joy. And so working on these temples in the fifth chamber, you're allowing yourself to really free yourself, to work with the anger, to loosen the energy of the anger, or to figure out how to increase the joy, right? And this is done through each of these, Dom Mariano will go through a little journey to visualize, and then Dom Mariano will be working while that happens. And you work with stones, so you have different nine stones, and then you'll be using one stone for each of those temples. Mm-hmm. So there is all this really cool, you know, shamanism. Cool,
this is going to be so magical. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Yeah.
I took it, you know, a couple of years ago, and it was it's one of my favorites.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So, where can people find out information on that?
So my webpage, iamshamanicmedium.com. You can go there.
There you go. Iamshamanicmedium.com. That's such a great. That's awesome. That's great. Now, okay. So on the heels of that, we have another sort of announcement to make. This is so exciting, Lori. Aside from the fact that, okay, so we're doing a retreat together. So it's Lori, myself, Theon from evolveme.com, and Sonia Hernandez, God, I'm going to forget her last name. And we are doing a retreat in Sedona, and it is going to be so amazing. And you guys, if you were like jazzed by any of the stuff that we talked about tonight, the despacho, we're going to be doing that. You know, we're going to be doing a little bit of, you know, altering our belief system, you know, how to, let's see, I have some of the finer points of the retreat. It's called the Infinite You Retreat, and it's June 13 through 16. And just a few of the things that we're going to be discussing and dealing with are gaining insight into utilizing meditative and mindful techniques to clear the mind and open pathways to connect with spirit. We're also going to examine how thought patterns may be constraining the possibilities you aspire to achieve. Hello. That's like the biggest thing ever. Yeah. You know, that's like,
well, so we're doing a little Akashic record piece, right? So we got a little Akashic record piece, and then we'll also be doing an ancestor component and a past life component. So that all will fit into that.
Yes. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. Lori, is it up on your site yet? Information?
You know, I, not completely, because we had a little link problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. It's on my website. So you can go to my website, laurieAlbert.com. And up at the top, it says the Infinite You Retreat. So you can look at all the details there. And really excited.
On mine soon. Yep.
Yeah, right. So wait. So now I want to get back to your retreat, though, because what are the dates of yours?
That Memorial Weekend, unfortunately, very quickly, we were supposed to have this in April, and the interpreter, who was a dear friend of all of us who were doing this, passed away suddenly. Mm-hmm. And it really... we didn't know what was going to happen because Don Mariano speaks Quechua, so he has to have an interpreter. So we found a new interpreter. And so they will be coming here on May 22nd, and that weekend of, I'm going to give you the date really quick here. Yes, we will be having the workshop on the May 25th and 26th, which is the Nine Temples.
Okay. Yeah. And that's all going to be in New York, right?
Yes. New York. Everything will be held at my house. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of these are online. So we're not doing anything online. No. Either retreat that we're talking about is online. So sorry, folks. Sometimes you just have to go to New York or you have to go to Sedona, you know? So.
Yeah, please do. Oh, you know, there's some stuff we'll definitely be doing online. I do hope to get my shamanic confusion up.
Oh, look, Lori. So this is Norma. She said, Lori, I'm looking forward to Don Mariano and your explanation of what to expect was so clear. Oh, that's great. Awesome.
Excellent.
So that's fantastic. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, we are going to, we're hoping we're going to do a little beginner thing. That's going to be a 2-hour thing. And I we're hoping to film that. And so then we will be able to post that for future so people can learn about it and do that. So, yeah, it's super exciting. We got a lot of stuff. The retreat, you know, and I talked about, you know, and Lori, you've been doing a lot of stuff for a long time. I mean, I think because I'm a career changer, you know, I could, as a teacher, you know, I worked in HIV AIDS for years. And then I, as a special ed teacher and in front of my kids, man, I got no fear. It's like I get in front of my kids and I can be a complete idiot and it's all good. You know, and it's actually fun to be good to do silly things in front of them and annoy them. But anyway, no, but now it's like this being seen, this stepping completely out there and letting the big world, you know, and it's like, and it's always been a thing for me to talk about shadow. I'm much more comfortable with kids than I am with grownups. And so learning to be comfortable with grownups are so darn judgmental. Kids are judgmental too, but you just, you know,
there's a difference there though. I totally understand.
Yeah, and they're so honest.
Right.
You know, if you got coffee breath, the kids are going to go, ew, you smell.
Yeah. Yeah. But an adult would turn around and tell their friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, but that's true. Oh my gosh. You know, I just was remembering back that I had an experience, and I'm trying to remember the whole thing as I'm sitting here saying this, but I went on a journey. It was a taped journey. And so this lady led us on this journey, and I went to, and I don't remember which world it was. I forget which world it was, but she was saying, okay, so you're gonna, when you go into this place, you look for the animal that comes to meet you and greet you kind of thing. Right. So I was like, ooh, this is going to be fun. Right. So I'm sitting in meditation she guides us, you know, which is so cool. Right. So she guides us down, and I think it was the lower world. If I had to guess, I'm not sure. But anyway, all of a sudden I was sitting there, and all of a sudden a huge lion just was right in front of me. And I wasn't scared of it at all. It was just so magical. You know, it was so magical because I felt like that I was one with the animal, you know, I felt like, oh my gosh. And, I was at a party one time, and this was at a very, very wealthy person's party. And they had, a lion in a cage at the party. And which is insane, but you know, whatever, you know, whatever. But I remember walking up to that line. And of course you can only get so close. I understand that. And I'm sure he was sedated because he was way too chill, you know, but I was sitting there, and because I had literally just had this journey and I had met this lion, I felt so incredibly connected to this live lion there. And it was so extraordinary, that experience. Like, I felt like that he and I were talking. I felt like that he and I had this connection. I'm getting like dizzy just thinking about it, because it was so much energy and it was so beautiful. And I'll just be honest. I basically apologized to the animal that I couldn't get him out because I didn't want him to be in the cage anymore, you know?
And so in that case, you ask yourself, what does lion have to teach me? And that's where it's like, you sit with that and what do you have to teach me? Well, lion's not afraid of anything.
Yeah.
And so lion is teaching you, it's okay. Ready for this one, Lori? Ready? It's okay to roar.
Love that. Oh my God. Oh.
Yeah.
So true. You know what? I'm having an epiphany. I'm having like this aha moment, because it just dawned on me. Lions are about courage, right? Uh-huh. I mean, they talk about courage, but forever, for like 20 years now, I've always like anybody that listens to me knows this. I talk about affirmations all the time. My personal affirmation that just gets up inside me and pushes me to do like everything in my world is, oh my God, I'm going to cry, is I am courageous. Now, isn't that crazy? Oh my God. I'm just having this moment of, okay, I'm going to have to meditate when we finish here. But that's, I mean, on a very sort of simple level, I feel like that's kind of what shamanism is about.
Yeah. And embodying that. So to take that to the next, so you have an altar. So now you would get a little symbol of a lion and you would put the lion on your altar. So now this lion is there to show you, you are courageous. You are not afraid. You are a predator. Yeah. You know, in a good way, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. So when you're working with one of these animals or an animal comes in, it's like, so what are you here to teach me? You know, what is it? Why are you here? And not everyone stays. Sometimes they teach and they leave. So that is really important. When I worked at a school in the woods, and my kids used to crack up at me, because every time I would hear a bird call, like an eagle or a hawk or sometimes something else, I would run outside and say, guys, okay, what's that? And I'd be out there and I'd be making my bird sounds. And sure enough, you know, I get that eagle circling around overhead and the kids are just cracking up. But, you know, it ended up to be the coolest connection between us. And I worked for a school that does birds of prey. They have they rescue. So it's actually got a condor there and all the stuff. And so whenever the kids and I would be around there, we'd get to the birds and they'd be like, Miss Shepherd, do your thing. Do your thing.
Oh my God. That's so cool. That is so cool. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. I just want to sort of, because our hour, we're like overtime, which is fine, I'm sure. But it's like, I think this is a great way to just kind of sum it all up. If you open your heart to all these experiences, like a lot of you mentioned, like a lot of you that I'm seeing comments by mentioned that you felt really connected to the earth, or you connect, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you open your heart, it's right there waiting for you. You know, it's just, and I would love if you would sort of close this out, Lori, if you could just kind of say a few words or maybe a little to finish the ceremony. I feel like that we were, you know, is there a couple little things that you can say? And I know I just totally put you on the spot.
Well, no, I was saying this to go to energy. So, all of you are, some of you have been making some comments and some of you are just watching. However, because we're dealing with energy, we can still reach out to each other. So just envision that you can hear my hands and my beautiful, beautiful energy is just radiating towards you. And as you do, put your love out there, put your energy back. And just envision this beautiful pool of energy that's just circling around. And, you know, sort of anything that is not meant to be there, we just let that go away. Just this energy of love and light. And knowing that we all have things to work on. Our hearts are these massive spaces with multitudes of room. And now take the opportunity to envision that the windows in your heart are opening up a little. And so here we go. Love and light. Love and light. You are love. You are light. And I thank you for this time we spent together.
Oh, that was so beautiful, Lori. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate you being here. So you can reach Lori at iamshamanicmedium.com. You can learn about her retreat. You can learn all about her services. She does a lot of different things. So go learn about her. She's an extraordinary human being. And I know that to be so true because I know her. She's a friend. Yeah. And if you're interested in the Infinite You retreat, you can go to my website, LoriAlbert.com, and look for at the top where it says the Infinite You retreat. And we, you know, if you have any questions, you can always email us. So much love to you all. I wish you all a perfect evening, and thank you so much for being here, everybody. See you later.